I'm Mike Fraser, and this is WYSO Today for Tuesday, March 17th. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed on Monday to hear arguments over whether or not to end temporary protected status for Haitian refugees. At the same time, a group of Springfield community leaders planned to demonstrate outside of the nation's high court on Tuesday. WYSO's Catherine Mobley explains that their effort begins with filing a legal brief to the high court.
Monday morning, advocates for basic legal equality, commonly called ABLE, filed an amicus curiae brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. They're doing it on behalf of Springfield Neighbors United. It's in connection with one of the national lawsuits challenging the federal government's planned termination of temporary protected status for Haiti. Renee Murphy is a managing attorney for ABLE. She contends the Department of Homeland Security should have first considered long-term and short-term harm to communities like Springfield if the city's Haitian population drops.
The influx of working people and families with children has made the community more vibrant and increased the tax base. One thing we do know is that in the last several years, the local income tax base here in Springfield actually increased $20 million from about $28 million to $48 million.
Murphy says violent gangs in the island nation make it unsafe for TPS holders to return home. Currently, a federal judge has denied ending Haiti's TPS status while attorneys argue this case in court. Next month, the U.S. Supreme Court justices have agreed to hear arguments in this case. Reporting for WYSO News, I'm Catherine Mobley.
Closing arguments are approaching the halfway point in the trial of former First Energy executives Chuck Jones and Michael Dowling. They're accused of participating in the largest bribery scandal in state history by paying over $4 million to former First Utilities Commission Chair Sam Randazzo. This happened as First Energy was seeking a $1 billion bailout for its two nuclear power plants. State House correspondent Karen Kessler reports.
Assistant Ohio Attorney General Matt Meyer took much of the morning to present the prosecution's argument that Jones and Dowling bribed Randazzo for favorable treatment for First Energy.
They purposely corrupted Ohio's PUCO chairman for their own benefit. They rigged a process that was supposed to be fair for everyone.
Dowling's lawyer Steve Grimes said the state's case doesn't make sense and no bribe was proven, and he urged the jury to consider the evidence and lack of it.
Talk it out, but don't accept these assumptions. Keep up the fight for Mike. Send him home.
Next, the attorney for Jones presents her closing statements, and then the state gets a rebuttal. The case could go to the jury later today. Karen Kessler at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
A strict statewide cell phone policy went into effect in Ohio's public school districts in January. It prohibits K-12 students from using their phones during the school day. That includes over recess and lunch. The Ohio Newsroom's Aaron Gottsacker reports on how it's going.
Corinne Brion is an associate professor in the Department of Educational Administration at the University of Dayton, and she's interviewed over a dozen public school principals about their cell phone policies. Many districts banned cell phones during the entire school day back at the beginning of the school year. And while it's too early to say if the policies are affecting academic performance, Brion says principals are noticing an impact on students' social interactions.
They talked about it's so noisy now in the cafeteria, or they want more board games.
Brion also talked to students about cell phone policies. She says many are in favor of cell phone bans, but say it can cause challenges. For example, some say they can't work on college applications during the school day now because of two-factor identification. For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm Erin Gottsacker.
Downtown Dayton's designated outdoor refreshment area, or DORA, will be temporarily suspended today in observance of St. Patrick's Day. While the suspension is in place, all participating DORA businesses will not sell to-go beverages or DORA cups. Regular alcohol sales will be permitted, but guests cannot carry alcoholic beverages outside. Dayton's chief of police previously established this annual suspension on St. Patrick's Day, as well as other special events throughout the year, as part of the program's outlined safety plan. The downtown DORA will go back into effect with its regular rules at noon on Wednesday, March 18th. Winter has returned, at least for a little while here in southwest Ohio, with temperatures forecasted to be near 30 degrees today, with a few snow showers possible. More snow showers are possible early Wednesday. The good news is temperatures will moderate up into the 60s by Friday and this weekend. And so far this weekend looks dry. And that's WISO Today for Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Mike Fraser.